This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
To Public Domain Theater with Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, and guest Ronnie Adrian reading The Beautiful People by Charles Beaumont.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings and lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent, and we are joined by a very special guest today. You may know him from White Women, performing every second Sunday at UCB Sunset. Sunset?
It's second Friday.
It's fine.
Every
second
matter.
Friday.
This really doesn't matter, but I don't want
to
cut
nothing
you off from
does,
this thing you do.
So, continue.
I'm going to have another chance
continue.
To say it.
Okay. Oh,
from,
true.
From Dragons, every Saturday at 10:30 at UCB Sunset.
That was
yes,
great.
Nice.
It's the Dragons, but it's
oh,
fine.
Is it? Yeah. I'm so
oh, I'm sorry.
The wow. Dragons. Wow.
You are embarrassing
here's the thing.
Me in front of Ronnie right
I
now.
I wrote this intro in italics, and I think I'm somehow, it's like throwing me off. We have writer, actor, improviser, very cool guy, Ronnie Adrian is here.
Hello, everyone. I know you're clapping.
Yeah, I was
clapping.
About to.
They're standing.
And then I didn't. I don't know why. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't.
Okay.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Oh, thank you all for having me.
Oh, finally.
Yes. Finally. We were waiting for you to say that.
We thanked Ronnie before we started recording, and he refused.
He just smiled
respond.
And then, like, pointed at his watch.
He's like, save it for the cast.
I want people to know I'm thankful. I don't want to waste my thank yous. I heard you only have so many thank yous in life.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. When you say all of them, you die.
It's like that Eddie Murphy movie.
That
with
yes,
the tree.
With when you say all your words you're supposed to say, you die.
Or can't talk.
I think it's called 1,000 Words.
Is it?
I think it is.
God,
yeah.
Lindsay, I hope that's not true because you and I talk a lot.
That's frightening. That's a frightening thought.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on and doing the show and agreeing to read a story with us.
Oh, yes.
So, okay.
We're going to generally ask you what we usually remember to ask our guests.
So let's say, rewind to you in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Are you reading the assigned reading that you're supposed to be reading?
Yes, even though I'm not sure. Were we assigned reading in high school? I mean, I guess people were.
Yeah, really? We were. Yeah, we very much so.
I think I was.
Unless you went to like a Montessori school and they were like, create your own curriculum.
I'm not sure. I went to public school in South Carolina, and I'm not sure if we had assigned reading there or not.
I feel like
I know I've had assigned reading in my life. I don't want to say like this seems crazy. I know I had assigned reading in my life before, but I just can't remember. Like, what were you reading? Like, I don't know, things like The Great Gatsby or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Know.
Yeah.
Like,
Great Gatsby,
Tess of the Dubervilles.
Nope, not that one.
Scarlet Letter.
Yeah,
The Crucible.
I think I read The Crucible.
You did?
Scarlet Letter. That's one of those. That's one of like those TV ones that everyone tells you that you're supposed to read.
Yeah.
And so I only know it because of TV, but I'm not sure I ever read it.
I feel
there
like
are some of those for me, and I can't think of what they are offhand. But where I'm like, I don't have to read that shit.
Yeah.
Or damn, I wish I'd had to read that shit.
Oh.
Again, I can't think of
anything.
I feel like everybody was supposed to read like The Giver in sixth grade.
And oh, yeah. I never read that.
I didn't read that. I feel like everyone, it was on TV a lot. Like people were like, oh, you got to do your report on The Giver. I never read it.
I was confused. Actually, I think I read The Giver. Look, I'm going to be real with you. I've read a lot of books. I mean, I guess
cool.
within the span of
nice,
things. And I don't
nice.
Remember most of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the same thing with movies, though. Over time, I forget movies as well.
Well, that's great because then you can rewatch them.
Yeah, that's what usually what happens. Usually after a while, I forget. And I just, movies that I know that I like, or at least in a genre or whatever, I just end up rewatching at some point again.
When you rewatch it, are you like, oh, yeah, like that happened?
Yeah, some stuff. Yeah, it is like, oh, yeah, this like this thing. But it is like a lot of memory jogging. Like, so it is like, oh, yeah, I do remember that part. I do remember this part. That's what's funny about like writing and then like and all this type of stuff, because it is like, even though I don't necessarily remember movies that well a lot of the times, like story is very similar in the same sense.
Yeah.
So like the same thing.
Story structure.
It's like, oh yeah, like you just it's like
oh, and then they're probably gonna get together in the end.
It's just, it's interesting in that way that like even though I don't necessarily remember in different movies exact plots and plot points and things like that, it is like knowing the structure of something. So even when you're writing it or writing like because it's just the structure of film and television stuff is so ingrained in you that like, or just story in general,
I
don't know.
So you sort of track the hero's journey of like, okay, well about page 10, his life is going to get like thrown upside down and he's going to go somewhere. Something's going to be different, or like, oh, suddenly there's like a tree and there's like 1,000 words on that tree.
Just to go back to all of our favorite movie, 1,000 words.
Yeah. 1,000 words.
Yeah. Great.
An Eddie Murphy classic.
Yeah. Classic.
One of everybody's favorite.
Yeah. When you think of Eddie Murphy, you think of 1,000 words.
You can't remember
that movie,
the title of
The one where you all can say so many words and blah, blah, blah.
And we definitely know the whole plot.
Mm-hmm. So another one of our favorites is Charles Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
So do we, how much do we love Charles Beaumont? So much.
Too much.
What do we know about him?
He has a French-ish last name, but probably isn't.
Do you know
probably
anything about this guy?
I bet he's Southern.
Oh, Charles Beaumont?
Yeah.
I know nothing about him.
Great.
I know that like the title of his book, I want to say it was ripped off by Marilyn Manson, but I don't know. That could be hearsay. I could have just made that up.
We'll know when we get
Marilyn
into
Manson
the
on our show.
Plot of the story.
Yeah. If the plot is the same as the lyrics to A Beautiful People, The Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson,
that'll tip us off.
We know that somebody is ripping somebody off.
And I'm not going to say who.
Marilyn.
Okay. When do we think that Charles Beaumont was born?
1994.
1910.
Whoa.
Nice.
Nice. Closer.
Damn it.
1929.
Mm. Oh, I was.
You were very off. I did not know when you think this was written.
I hear Beaumont and I think old
very
Southern gentleman.
Olden times. Okay. Well, when do you think he died? If we know 1929, he was born.
I think he's still alive.
What?
I want to really swing for the fences.
Okay, so
on this
you think
episode.
He is well?
Yeah.
So then
I think
he would
alive,
be,
not only alive but also well.
So 89.
Yeah, he could. I mean,
right,
he could be alive.
He could be alive.
We all know he's not, but he could be.
Mm-hmm. He died young, 1967.
I was a little bit off.
Wait, is that young? No. Wait.
Yes,
it is young.
Yeah, I am uncomfortable.
Charles, no. Okay. He is an American author of speculative fiction, including short
speculative.
Stories.
What
speculative.
What does that mean, fiction? Brett?
This is, okay. Isn't it like.
Brett, what is speculative
like, what
fiction?
If this was like this? Imagine a world.
Brett shrugged a lot and nodded his head like side to side.
You know
and
why?
Then went, sci-fi.
You know why he did that? Because he was annoyed because we didn't listen to the rest of the sentence.
I don't like waiting.
Of speculative fiction, including short stories in horror and science fiction subgenres.
Yeah, but that didn't necessarily mean. What was his deal?
He's an American author of speculative fiction.
Cool.
Including short stories in horror and science fiction.
Yeah, we can
move on. He's remembered. Oh, as a writer of classic Twilight Zone episodes. That is speculative fiction.
I'm in.
What is this?
What if stories?
Oh, like what if stories? I already said that, Brett. Brett wasn't listening. He was too busy writing on a post-it. He's like, I fucking got it. I'm going to write
this. Also, I'd like, that's, what does that even say? What does that say? Steins.
Oh, that's why the question mark, you said it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was adding the question mark.
He didn't know. Right, yeah.
Like, for a second, I thought you were writing R.L. Stein. I didn't know what.
Yeah. He took it away. He threw the trash.
This is... Else, okay, Brett that wrote was stories shocking. Very badly.
Very yes, badly. Thank you. Also, he's in a mood today. I don't know what happened. He got a haircut recently. Is this, I think he feels different.
Is this because I requested coffee to be ready before I get here?
It is. He's like, oh, the queen. I'm going to make sure to write all these notes on little post-its for the queen.
Oh, I'm going to make Lindsay sound like an idiot.
I know. He's like, read this out loud. Read this out loud. He was born. Oh, very different name. Charles Leroy Nutt.
Why did he change it? In went for Beaumont?
Charles Leroy Nutt in Chicago. He's the only child of Charles H. Nutt, who is an auditor of freight accounts for a railroad, and Letty Nutt. Letty Nutt. It sounds like left
it's so
nut.
Childish that I'm laughing, but it's so childish.
Very funny.
And you not even like, I'm thinking of like testicles or anything. It's not like that. I'm just like... That's a stupid thing.
Well, also, like, nut is spelled N-U-T-T, so, like,
oh, really?
It's even funnier.
I love
it's kind
it.
Of like butt. Okay.
To all the listeners out there with that last name, we apologize if we offended you.
Yeah, we love
but
all
it is
of
funny.
You.
You know your name is funny.
Yeah. You have to know. You have to look in the mirror every night and be like, my name is funny.
And I don't apologize for honesty.
No. Honestly, I say what's on my mind, and that's the kind of person I am.
Like, oh, so I'm the asshole.
I'm sorry I offended you. Okay, so his father's 55 when Charles is born. Letty, his mother, is nearly 20 years her husband's junior.
Classic. Wow, my voice got real weird when I...
Okay, so Letty is known to have dressed young Charles in girls' clothes and once threatened to kill his dog to punish him. Letty,
I mean, that's cool if that's what he wanted to do,
right,
but I'm
but
getting
I think it
the
was
sense
punishing.
That it's not.
Yeah, I think it was like...
She sounds crazy, right?
I think she is. In 1963, Beaumont's 34. He's overwhelmed by writing commitments. He starts to suffer the effects of what he called a mysterious... What? Is this real, Brett?
I'm sick of your lies, Brett.
He began to suffer the effects of what has been called a mysterious brain disease. He began to age rapidly. His speech slowed and his
brain
ability
cloud.
To concentrate diminished. He was rarely well, his friend and colleague William F. Nolan would later recall. He was almost always thin with a headache. He used bromo seltzer, like most people use water.
And then his boss convinced him that because he was going to die anyway, he should just jump into a volcano.
What's that from?
To say Joe versus the volcano.
Oh, great. I'm not familiar.
Well, you knew enough that it was a movie.
Yeah,
it's a Tom Hanks movie,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Meg Ryan. Sleepless in Seattle.
I think I've seen, not the movie, I think I've seen that as an option on Netflix or something one time, but I think I chose The Money Pit instead.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Similar. I feel
not
like
a bad choice, but Joe versus the Volcano is good. Money Pit, always good. Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like that, like The Burbs, like all of those are very similar, like.
I'm
times.
Not as big a fan of
I've
burbs.
Never seen The Burbs. I've
I
never seen The Burbs,
like it, but I don't think I'm
Money
a fan
Pit
either.
Or what's the other one? Joe versus the Volcano. I've never seen any of those three.
Wow.
But you've seen every other Tom Hanks movie?
No. When you call yourself a Hankhead.
Never seen Big.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Who are you?
I know. Never
right,
seen.
That offended me, Kelly. Now
I know.
That
was,
Big.
I know.
Like, that was genuinely
I've seen
shocking.
Clips. I've never seen the whole thing.
Like, there's only like maybe like five Tom Hanks movies that is like required Tom Hanks viewing. Like,
that's one.
Okay, yeah. Name five of them. I'm going to tell you which ones I've seen.
Okay, well, Big.
Okay, Big.
Sleepless in Seattle.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Forrest Gump.
I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say Money Pit.
Never seen that.
But that's because it's a favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like Money Pit?
I did not dislike it.
Wait, it's a weird movie.
Yeah.
It was one. It's like I love 80s movies and stuff like that. So like even watching it was interesting because I think it was just like not what I thought it was going to be when I got in. But then once I was like, oh, okay. Like once I started taking it for what it was, I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah. It's a very silly, like just physical comedy going on.
Yeah.
When he gets stuck in that ceiling.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Yeah.
Yeah.
What would be another one? I bet Money Pit shouldn't be on there.
I've never seen You've Got Mail.
Eh,
skip it. What other things? has he been in?
Castaway?
I saw Castaway.
Yeah. Okay.
The Terminal, I saw that.
How have you seen The Terminal and not Big? Yeah. You disgust me. Leave. Ronnie's the host with me.
The Terminal. I don't think I've seen that one. I think I've seen that one. Actually.
The only things I remember.
Tell me you saw it in the theater.
I did.
You're ridiculous.
To be fair, I might have seen it with like, you know how you used to be able to buy discount movie tickets from Ralph's?
No.
You know can't. That niche thing then? No. Not at all.
So you can.
I was terrified
can.
I was going to be the only one in the room who didn't
so you
know
can,
that.
But no, so you can. And like, you can only see movies that have already been out for 2 weeks. So I saw Terminal with one of those tickets.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. If that's how you want to live your life.
Wow.
Okay.
So the disease affects his work. He can barely tell stories. He can't write. He goes unshaven to meetings with producers, which would end in disaster. Hmm. He couldn't think on his feet. A scriptwriter has to be able to think on his feet, which Chuck couldn't do anymore. So producers would just go, "We're sorry, Mr. Beaumont. We don't like the script." He Ouch. Dies in Woodland Hills. Do we find out? Oh,
gross.
So he dies in Woodland Hills at the age of 38. His son Christopher later says
38, too close for comfort.
I
for
know
me.
He looked 95 and was in fact 95 by every calendar except for the one on your watch. His last residence was near
Rude.
Was in nearby Valley Village. He's survived by his wife Helen, two sons, two daughters. One son Greg worked in sound on television, was nominated for a Grammy. Greg passed away from colon cancer at the age of 34. Ooh. The other son Christopher is a writer. So I wonder if
are you
he
giving
had...
us the children just because his life was so short, Brett?
Okay. Yeah, I mean he ran out of stuff to include. He's like, I can't leave this on a really sad note, so I'll just say how the kids died.
I want to look up the adults. Like, I want to end it on a happy death.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right, let's read this
I
thing.
I want to know what episodes of The Twilight Zone he wrote now. I'm going to look that up after the show.
Okay,
Kelly
ready?
Has a very shocked look on her face.
Mary sat... Well, we'll start. Okay. The Beautiful People by Charles Beaumont.
Mm.
Mary sat quietly and watched the handsome man's legs blown off.
Ugh.
Watched further as the great ship began to crumple and break into small pieces in the middle of the blazing night. She fidgeted slightly as the men and the parts of the men came floating dreamily through the wreckage out into the awful silence.
Wow. Okay.
And when the meteorite shower came upon the men, gouging holes through everything, tearing flesh and ripping bones, Mary closed her eyes. Mother, Mrs. Cooberola...
Sure.
Mrs. Cooberl glanced up from her magazine. Hmm? Do we have to wait much longer? I don't think so. Why? Mary said nothing but looked at the moving wall. Oh, that. Mrs. Cooberl laughed and shook her head. That tired old thing. Read a magazine, Mary, like I'm doing. We've all seen that a million times.
What are they, in the waiting room for hell? What's going on?
I think so.
Yeah, I was like, did I miss something?
No.
I zone out for three seconds?
Every single episode, it takes us like a good minute to wrap our brain around where we even are in the story.
Mm-hmm. I think this is in the future.
First, I thought Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought future. And then I couldn't visualize anything because suddenly they seem like they're in a waiting room with magazines.
Does it have to be on, Mother? Well, nobody seems to be watching. I don't think the doctor would mind if I switched it off.
Oh, nailed it!
Waiting room!
If you got a wall and you got a magazine, you got a waiting room.
Mm. Mrs. Cooberl rose from the couch.
Watching a movie.
And walked to the wall. She depressed a little button and the life went from the wall, flickering and glowing. So they've got a projector situation going on.
Mm. I mean, I would assume, if he died in the 60s, then he probably wrote this.
Before then.
You know, they had like good technology. There's no iPads then, probably.
No, I'm not
sure though. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah, well, they're going to sign in on iPads.
You know what? I am going to quote you.
No, damn it.
They didn't have iPads in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Is that the hill you want to die on?
Yep.
Okay. Mary opened her eyes. Honestly, Mrs. Cooberl said to a woman sitting beside her, you think they'd try to get something else? We might as well go to the museum and watch the first landing on Mars. The Majorca disaster, really? The woman replied without distracting her eyes from the magazine page. It's the doctor's idea. Psychological. Mrs. Cooberl opened her mouth and moved her head up and down knowingly. Oh, I should have known there was some reason. Still, who
my
watches
she just
it?
Like, she opened her mouth like a guppy and went,
oh. The children do. Makes them think, makes them grateful or something.
He's showing this to children?
Oh.
He's a dentist. It's like, I think it's good for kids.
Yeah. I just like
to see a disaster.
This is what's happening in their mouth.
Before I drill into their mouths. Yeah.
Psychological. Mary picked up a magazine and leafed through the pages. All photographs of women and men. Women like mother and like the others in the room. Slender, tanned, shapely, beautiful women. And men with large muscles and shiny hair. Women and men all looking alike, all perfect and beautiful. She folded the magazine and wondered how to answer the questions that would be asked.
This is for sure some Twilight Zone shit.
Yeah, they're going to see if she's like a, what's it called, psychic or something.
Or she's got a pig nose, and that means she's ugly. No, that's just an episode of the Twilight Zone.
It's also a movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Penelope.
Yeah.
I think that's what I always see the cover of that with Christina Ricci.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Christina Ricci.
Yeah, it's not bad. Movie. Yeah,
you know.
I've never seen it. I just saw, I was looking up romantic comedies, and it came in. It's like, this is also a choice of a romantic comedy. And I just watched the trailer and was like,
I can foresee you saying, I didn't dislike it.
Mother, gracious, what is it now? Can't you sit still for a minute? But we've been here 3 hours. Mrs. Kuberl sniffed.
I'm too beautiful to wait.
Do I really have to? Now, don't be silly, Mary. After those terrible things you told me, of course you do. Ooh. An olive-skinned woman in a transparent white uniform came into the reception room. Kuberl? Miss Zina Kuberl? Oh, future names.
Oh, nice, Zina.
Yes? Doctor, we'll see you now. Mrs. Kuberl took Mary's hand, and they walked behind the nurse down a long corridor. A man who seemed in his middle 20s looked up from a desk.
Middle
20s, nice. It's hot. He smiled and gestured towards
the hottest section of age.
Yeah, give me those mid-20s babies. He smiled and gestured towards 2 adjoining chairs. Well, well.
Ew.
Dr. Hortel, the doctor snapped his fingers. Of course, I know. Your daughter. Ha ha! I certainly do know your trouble. Get so many of them nowadays. Takes up most of my time.
I don't know. I feel like that's not a crazy guess.
You do? Asked Mrs. Kuberl. Frankly, it'd begun to upset me. Upset? Not good. Not good at all. But then if people did not get upset, we psychiatrists would be out of a job, eh? Get the way of the early MD.
That's why I plan never to cure you.
Probably. But I assure you, I need hear no more. He turned his handsome face to Mary. Little girl, how old are you? 18, sir.
Mid-20s.
A real bit of impatience. It's just about time, of course. What might your name be? Mary. Charming and so unusual. Well, now, Mary, may I say that I understand your problem. Understand it thoroughly.
I get it. We're so far in the future that Mary isn't a common name anymore.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Can you imagine? What if?
Oh, speculation. Mrs. Kuberl smiled and smoothed the sequins on her blouse. Madam, you have no idea how many there are these days. Sometimes it preys on their minds so that it affects them physically, even mentally. Makes them act strange, say peculiar, unexpected things. One little girl I recall was so distraught she did nothing but brood all day long. Can you imagine?
You're a psychiatrist. That should be pretty standard.
Also, that's like not that weird.
No.
Like being sad all day.
I feel like I do that almost every day.
Welcome to 2018.
Hey, give me what's a sequin?
Those little shiny
things. Right, yeah. Right?
So she's wearing a fully sequined blouse.
That's a lot about the mom. That let me know about the mom. Yeah. Okay.
She's like, I got to bring my daughter to the shrink. Let me put on
my best gown.
Sequined gown.
I mean, but that said the sequins on her blouse, though.
Oh, blouse. I'm sorry. So, top.
Yeah, so you're wearing a sequin top. That's weird. Like, if it was like a dress, you'd be like, okay, I guess.
So she's busy. Yeah. She's like on her way from a gala, but a blouse.
Yeah, with a blouse that has a sequins on it. I'm imagining it a bunch.
Yeah.
I'm imagining a bunch.
I'm imagining it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to a degree that you would be surprised by.
Yeah.
That's what Mary does. When she finally told me, doctor, I thought she had gone, you know.
That a little sad in the brain.
I thought she was going to be a real drag of a daughter. That bad, eh? Afraid we'll have to start a re-education program. Very soon, or they'll all be like this. I believe I'll suggest it to the senator day after tomorrow. I don't quite understand.
There's like a direct psychiatrist to senator line in this future.
I mean, I guess psychiatrists are the most important doctor in
they
the
are.
Future.
Yeah, they are. In the future. Mm-hmm. In the future.
In the future. Simply, Mrs. Kuberl, that the children have got to be thoroughly instructed. Thoroughly. Too much is taken for granted, and childish minds somehow refuse to accept things without definite reason. Children have become far too intellectual, which, as I trust I needn't remind you, is a dangerous thing. Yes, but what does this have to do with Mary? Everything, of course. Mary, like half this
stupid bitch.
I know. You come into my office and act like a dumb bitch?
Cow? You stupid sequined cow.
You fucking disco ball. Get the fuck out of here. Mary, like half the 16, 17, and 18-year-olds today, has begun to feel acutely self-conscious. She feels like her body has developed sufficiently for the transformation, which, of course, it has not quite yet, and she cannot understand the complex reasons that compel her to wait until some future date. Mary looks at you, at the women all about her, at the pictures, and then she looks into the mirror. From pure perfection of body, face, limbs, pigmentation, carriage, stance, from Simon pure perfection. I know. If I may be allowed the expression, she sees herself and is horrified. Isn't that so, my dear child? Of course, of course. She asks herself, why must I be hideous, unbalanced, oversized, undersized, full of revolting skin eruptions, badly schemed organically?
This all tracks for adolescence, yeah.
In short, Mary is tired of being a monster and is overly anxious to achieve what almost everybody else has already achieved. But, said Mrs. Kuberl, this much you understand, doubtless. Now, Mary, what you object to is that our society offers you and others like you no convincing logic on the side of waiting until age 19. It's all taken for granted, and you want to know why. It is that simple. A non-technical explanation will not suffice. Mercy, no! The modern child wants facts. Solid.
Which psychiatry absolutely deals in. Like, everything is figured out. It's all about an exact science where we know everything.
Solid technical data to satisfy her every question. And that, as you can both see, will take a good deal of reorganizing. But
this sounds great. I'm in. Mm-hmm. I want an answer
to
everything.
Here's what I think. I think that they are allowed to, like, get, like, a lot of plastic surgery all over their whole bodies once they turn 19. And she's like, why can't it happen now?
I want it now. I'm an adult.
But, said Mary, the child is upset, nervous, tense. She acts strange, peculiar, odd, worries you, makes herself ill, because it is beyond our meager powers to put it across. I tell you, what we need is a whole new basis for learning. And that will take doing. It will take doing, Mrs. Kuberl. Now, don't you worry about Mary, and don't you worry, child. I'll prescribe some pills. And
I don't know what it is, but I feel like this guy is about to break into song with a makeover. Like old movie musical, like coming in with like dummies wearing dresses on them.
Yes. And there's going to be like a full montage of like her like trying on the dresses, but it's going to be like a swipe. Edits every time.
I mean, well, if we're having fun with this, then I imagine him coming in like, what's the guy from Rocky Horror Picture? Like the main dude.
Oh, that's more like fun.
With the
Dr. Frankenfurter.
That dude. Like, I imagine him in that vein.
Yes.
I mean, if we're having
I want to switch mine.
Is it too late? Okay, so this is what's happening. That's what's happening.
We're all agreed. Yeah. Tim Curry is just living it up in some fishnets.
No, doctor, you're all mixed up, cried Mrs. Kuberl. I beg your pardon, ma'am. What I mean is you've got it wrong. Tell him, Mary. Tell the doctor what you told me. Mary shifted uneasily in the chair.
I don't want to be beautiful.
No.
I knew it.
It's that.
You know how
I don't
we're talking
want
about
it.
Story structure?
The doctor's well-proportioned jaw dropped. Would you please repeat that?
Excuse me?
I said I don't want the transformation. Don't want it? You see? She told me that's why it came to you. The doctor looked at Mary suspiciously.
If you had let me speak for one fucking second, we could have avoided you talking for three pages.
Wait, is the specificity of the doctor's what do you say, well proportioned jaw, is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Like, is the specificity to show, like, so this doctor is beautiful.
Yes.
So her saying that she has one to be beautiful is like an affront to him and
personal.
His beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Personal. You are rejecting everything our society is about.
Okay.
Which I can relate to because I got jaw surgery, so that I'd be prettier.
And you make everybody tell you that every time we see you.
Yeah.
Tell me how pretty I am now.
Tell me I'm pretty. Tell me how ugly I was and how pretty I am now.
Yeah, that, and that's the funny part, because I was like, I don't really want to get into the breaking
no,
down.
No, no,
of the,
break
of
it
the
down.
First part.
But I definitely want to know which things about me that were then and aren't now are your favorite.
Okay.
And that's how I phrase it, which
and
is
like
a
you,
very
and
normal.
And then you give someone like a pen and you're like, circle the parts on my face that you think like look better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then like what percentage better are they?
You show you old pictures, but like, let me jog your memory first of what I used to look like.
Yeah.
Before, mm-hmm. like then now, look at this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a bad one, right?
Better,
like,
right?
I guess it's fine.
Hideous. Better.
The doctor looked at Mary suspiciously. But that's impossible. I've never heard of such a thing. Little girl, you're playing a joke. Mary nodded negatively.
Huh?
I think you meant to say shake her head.
I guess that's what they called it in the
60s. See, doctor? What can it be? Mrs. Kubel rose and began to pace. The doctor clucked his tongue and took from a small cupboard a black box covered with buttons and dials and wire.
Cluck, cluck, cluck.
He was like, burr, 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 burr. Oh, no. You don't think... I mean, could it? We shall soon see.
Could it be? Is it she?
The doctor revolved a number of dials and studied the single bulb in the center of the box. It was all a bunch of bullshit. This seems like a fake fucking machine.
Press the pretty button.
It did not flicker. He removed handles from Mary's head.
Handles?
Yeah, I guess he made her look all like right. Mrs. Potts. Dear me, the doctor said. Dear me, your daughter's perfectly sane, Mrs. Kuberl.
The box tells us.
Well, then what is it? Perhaps she's lying. We haven't completely eliminated that factor as yet. It slips into certain organisms.
Oh.
More tests, more machines, more negative results. Mary pushed her foot in a circle on the floor. When the doctor put his hands to her shoulders, she looked up pleasantly. Little girl, said the handsome man, do you actually mean to tell us that you prefer that body?
You know what this is? The plot of Penelope? Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, nice. Good to know. Yes, sir.
Just thought I'd ruin the movie Penelope for everyone.
Spoiler.
I mean, it just makes me want to go, like, if I look in Wikipedia about Penelope to see, like, if this story is inspired by her.
Yeah.
Inspired by a story by Charles Beaumont short thing.
By Charles Leroy Nutt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Nutt.
Mr. C.L. Nutt.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yes, sir. May I ask why? I like it. It's hard to explain, but it's me and it's what I like. Not the looks, maybe, but the me. You can look in the mirror and see yourself, then look at...
Well, your pretty looks.
Then look at, well, your mother and be content. Yes, sir. Mary thought of her reasons. Fuzzy, vague, but very definitely there.
You do realize you'll be less fuckable, right? To society at large.
Maybe she had said the reason. No, only a part of it. Mrs. Burrell, the doctor said, I suggest that your husband have a long talk with Mary. My husband is dead. That affair near Ganymede, I believe, something
this
like that.
This explains everything. Without a strong father figure to shame her about her looks.
Oh, splendid. Rocket man, eh? Very interesting organisms. Something always seems to happen to rocket men in one way or another. But I suppose we should do something. The doctor scratched his jaw. When did she first start talking this way? He asked. Oh, for quite some time. I used to think it was because she was such a baby. But lately, the time getting so close and all, I thought I'd better see you. Of course, yes, very wise. Does she also do odd things? Well, I found her on the second level one night. She was lying on the floor, and when I asked her what she was doing, she said she was trying to sleep. Mary flinched.
What?
She was sorry in a way that Mother had found that out. Did you say sleep? That's right.
Oh, they don't sleep in the future.
No, where could she have picked that up?
Yeah.
No idea. Mary, don't you know that nobody sleeps anymore? That we have an infinitely greater lifespan than our poor ancestors now that the wasteful state of unconsciousness has been conquered? Child, have you actually slept?
What, have you been reading books?
No one knows how anymore. No, sir, but I almost did. The doctor sighed. But it's unheard of! How could you begin to try to do something that people have forgotten entirely about? The way it was described in the book, it sounded nice, that's all. Mary was feeling very uncomfortable now. Home and no talking man in a foolish white gown.
Book? Book? Are there books at your unit, madam?
There could be. I haven't cleaned up in a while.
That is certainly peculiar. I haven't seen a book for years.
We all know books grow if you don't clean your house enough.
Not since 17.
Mary began to fidget and stare nervously about.
But with the tapes, why should you try and read books? Where did you get them?
It's a real, science fiction in the 50s and 60s was so fucking simple.
Yeah.
It's in the future, people don't read anymore.
I mean, I think people still hold on to those tropes now. I mean, isn't that like,
for sure.
Isn't that like a huge plot point in a movie, Equilibrium?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Never saw Equilibrium.
Yep.
It was like, it was like The Matrix. That's what it was billed at when it was like a movie that came out after The Matrix, but
it really
was
wanted
like,
to be.
Hey man, it's this movie. It's better than The Matrix.
Wait, that's Equilibrium? Wasn't this the one where he does a lot of flips with guns? Does he do that? Christian Bale does that a lot.
Oh, I think you're thinking of The Matrix.
Yeah. No, no,
no. I think you're thinking of the actual Matrix.
Not slow mo backwards flipping ones. It's like he's like turning and he's got both of his arms out and he kind of spins like a top with his guns.
I think maybe. I have seen it.
I mean, I have seen it too. It's been a while. I mean, that seems like it. That's will be like, up that movie's alley.
You stopped taking your pill that keeps you from feeling. What?
Also, to validate you, I mean, I think there's a couple different movies that have people with their gun out.
That's
doing
true.
Spin shoot,
that's true.
Doing spin gun shoot.
It's a popular move to have your arms straight out with guns and then
because it's very cool.
Yeah.
Like I'm writing a movie right now, and that's the only reason I'm writing it.
You know what? Actually, I think that's from The Matrix now that I'm thinking about it. It's like where he goes into the bank, right? And he spins with the guns.
One where Tom Hanks, he picks up a gun and then it turns him into a grown man.
And then he jumps into a volcano.
There's a very weird relationship.
It's not The Matrix. Just the one where I can't remember the actor's name, but he's from that movie, Point Break.
He's from Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. I can't remember his name.
It's not The Matrix.
Yes.
It's cool guy.
Mm-hmm. He wears a trench coat.
He's like black, but he's not that black guy. He's like that other black guy that's in 90s movies.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
but it's not The Matrix.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, got it.
Lawrence Fishface, I think his name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know him. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's definitely
but
not The Matrix.
It's not The Matrix, though.
Yeah.
It's not The Matrix.
Not The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. We're all asleep and robots control us, but it's not The Matrix.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Robots control us?
Okay.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Don't they, eat us? Like, they eat our bodies as batteries or something?
Well, they don't eat us. They use our bodies as batteries.
As batteries, that's right.
Do you think that people eat batteries, Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I mean, you're supposed to throw batteries.
I mean, I do it every day, and look at me now.
You know what? If you'd seen the movie Big, you wouldn't be like this.
Yeah. I wouldn't be like this. I think I would be a
different person.
Yeah. I would be more humble.
Yeah.
I would be nicer.
So yeah.
I'd be more introspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd have more friends. Where did you get them? Daddy did. He got them from his father, and so did Grandpa. He said they're better than the tapes, and he was right. Mrs. Kuberl flushed.
This story is so stupid.
I mean, before we judge, I want to say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of points in here from Mr. Charles Beaumont. I mean, the name of the book is The Beautiful People.
Yep.
In it, he talks about a rocket man.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, as he said, this is the plot of Penelope.
True. Yeah.
I feel like Charles Beaumont's been inspiring a lot of people.
Yeah,
a lot of people got a lot of props to give to Charles Beaumont that they're not doing.
Yeah. And a lot of songs.
Mm-hmm. Well, because this was like, you know, like Rocket Men, they're such like interesting creatures, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I think a certain Sir Elton John maybe like
flamboyant piano player.
Mm-hmm. Not Elton John, though.
No, oh, but not
he's known for wearing like really big sunglasses and like.
Yeah.
Hold me closer, tiny something.
Yeah.
Tiny Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Known for wearing a duck suit. But it's not Elton John.
It's not Elton John.
I forgot about that. Yep. Full Donald Duck suit.
I went to see A Star Is Born today earlier, and when they're doing the trailer parts, I did not. I know people said they were gonna cry. I did not cry, but I can see why people cried.
Okay,
I didn't cry because I'm very tough. But like,
yeah, and you've never cried.
No, I cry, but only when I wake up out of my sleep. But there is a trailer, and apparently, I guess he has a biopic coming out next summer.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. I was like, and it's one of those like, yeah, Elton John, Elton John biopic.
Didn't get that trailer when I saw A Star Is Born.
Yeah, well, I got
it. But I saw it in San Diego.
Maybe it's in L.A. specific.
They're interested in very different movies down there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like a lot of the trailers that were in this were very kind of, like, I don't want to say uplifting, but very like grounded-esque trailer. It wasn't like a lot. It wasn't like, oh, this isn't the fluff trailer crowd. This is like more like, huh? Like close to the chest, like we're going to hear
closer
some stuff.
Closer to chest. I heard closer to chest. That also makes sense because musician.
Musician. Lady music.
Gaga. Music. Rocket Man. Beautiful People. Charles Beaumont. That gets us back to the story.
Hey guys, Kelly here. We're going to take a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Lola. What is Lola? It's a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. Did you know the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products? So most of them don't do that. Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. So that way, you know exactly what is going on and going in to your vagina. And I'm sure you guys know this struggle. You're walking around the mall, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, dang, I have no feminine products, and the river is flowing. Do not worry. Lola has your back. You're no longer going to be stranded without tamps or pads. Their subscription is fully customizable. It comes right to your door, however frequently you want it delivered. You can choose your mix of products, mix of absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. Lola's subscription is super flexible. You can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. And you know what, guys? Do good with your purchase. For every purchase, Lola donates feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S. I personally love this product. They deliver right to my door. The box is cute. The little wrappers for the tamps are cute. It's personalized for the right variety of my needs. I also love knowing that they're 100% organic cotton and the BPA-free tampon applicators are going right in my body without me worrying, oh gosh, I'm putting mysteries in my body. I'm not worrying that at all. I really love the convenience of Lola, and you guys will too. So let's hit you guys up with some sweet discounts. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter promo code PUBLIC when you subscribe. Again, that's 40% off all subscriptions. Visit MYLOLA.com and enter promo code PUBLIC when you subscribe. And now, back to the show.
My husband was a little strange, Dr. Hortel. He kept those things despite everything I said. Dear me, I... Excuse me. The muscular black-haired doctor walked to another cabinet. Oh, now we know he has black hair.
And he's muscular.
And now we know that Charles Beaumont really has a thing for this doctor. Yeah. He's only been describing the doctor. That's and he gets more and more like in-depth with everything.
And hotter and hotter. Yeah.
And we only know that the mom is hot from the doctor saying it. It's like literally like everything is through the lens of the doctor.
Yeah.
He is really into this doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like the doctor named Charles Beaumont.
That's going to be the surprise of the year.
And it was I.
Walked to another cabinet and selected from the shelf a bottle. From the bottle, he took two large pills and swallowed them.
Whoa.
He's
like, huh, what
surprising.
A week.
I thought he was going to give them to her, but no. Sleep, books, doesn't want the transformation. Mrs. Qbert, my dear good woman, this is grave.
Why is he panicking so much?
Because this is the future. Where
in the future, we like, panic.
It's like Divergent. You can only be one of four things.
Don't you think that my top looks like I would be in Divergent?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but people told me it looked like it, and I wanted confirmation. I just wanted someone to say that I have a futuristic outfit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's truly funny was how happy you were to be like, doesn't my top look like a like being from Denver?
In like a dystopian
so
vegan.
She's like, doesn't yes.
Listen, I gotta get the little things where I can.
Look, I was sick this week. Doesn't want the transformation. I would appreciate it if you would change psychiatrists.
Oh.
I am very busy, and this is somewhat specialized. I suggest Central Dome. Many fine doctors there. Goodbye. Oh, the handsome doctor is leaving the story.
Oh, no.
Sad. Man. No.
Should we continue?
It's the only reason why I like this story.
I mean, if I know Charles, he'll find some way to still talk about it.
Classic Charles. Classic
there
Charles.
There might be an even handsomer doctor at Central Dome.
Mm.
The doctor turned and sat down in a large chair and folded his hands. Mary watched him and wondered why the simple statement should have so changed things, but the doctor did not move from the chair. Well, said Mrs. Qbert, and walked quickly from the room. The man's legs were being blown off again as they left the reception room. Mary considered the reflection in the mirrored wall. She sat on the floor and looked at different angles of herself, profile, full face, full length, naked, clothed. Then she took up the magazine and studied it. She sighed. Mirror, mirror on the wall. The words came haltingly to her mind. Oh, excuse me. I'll take that again. Mirror. Mirror. On the wall. Haltingly to her mind and from her lips. She hadn't read them, she recalled. Daddy had said them, quoted them, as he put it. But they, too, were lines from a book. Who is the fairest of... A picture of mother sat upon the dresser, and Mary considered this now. Looked for a long time at the slender, feminine neck. The golden skin. Oh, now we're into the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth and without blemish, without wrinkles and without age. The dark brown eyes and the thin tapers of eyebrows. The long black lashes set evenly so that each half of the face corresponded precisely. The half-parted mouth, a violet tint against the gold. The white, white teeth, even, sparkling. Mother. Beautiful, transformed mother. And back again to the mirror. Of them all. The image of a rather chubby girl, rude, without lines or rhythm or grace, without perfection, splotchy skin full of little holes, puffs in the cheeks, red eruptions on the forehead, perspiration, shapeless hair flowing onto shapeless shoulders down a shapeless body. Would be like a little brick.
Dude, this is like...
She's a white, puffy little brick.
Yeah, she's like a white, puffy little, like, acne-covered brick.
So many shapeless things.
This sack of flour stared herself in the mirror.
I mean, Jesus Christ, Charles. You could be like, this dude could be like a roast comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you write for Jeff Ross there, Charles Beaumont?
Oh.
Now Beaumont's getting roasted by Ronnie.
Yeah, I mean, hey, dude, I mean, hey. Like, no one describes an ugly kid like Charles Beaumont.
Best in the game. Like all of them before their transformation. Did they all look like this before? Did Mother even? Mary thought hard, trying to remember exactly what Daddy and Grandpa had said, why they said the transformation was a bad thing, and why she believed and agreed with them so strongly. It made little sense, but they were right. They were right, and one day she would understand completely. Mrs. Qbert slammed the door angrily, and Mary jumped to her feet. She hadn't forgotten about it. The way you upset Dr. Hortel! he won't even see me anymore. And we were having sex. And these dramas are getting horrible.
Wait, no, what?
I should have made it more screen so it was obvious. Here, I'll take it again. The way you upset Dr. Hortel. He won't even see me anymore. And we were fucking. And these dramas are getting horrible. I'll have to get that awful Dr. Wagoner. Sorry, Mrs. Q. Barrel sat on the couch and crossed her legs carefully. What in the world were you doing on the floor? Trying to sleep. Now I won't hear of it. You've got to stop it. You know you're not insane. Why should you do such a silly thing? The books. And Daddy told me about it. And you mustn't read those terrible things. Why? Is there a law against them? Well, no, but people tired of books when the tapes came in. You know that. We're really repetitive here, Boma.
I know.
The house is full of tapes. Anything you want. Mary stuck out her lower lip. They're no fun. All about the wars and the colonizations. And I suppose books are fun. Yes, they are. And that's where you got this idiotic notion that you don't want the transformation, isn't it? Of course it is. Well, we'll see to that. Mrs. Q. Barrel rose quickly and took the books from the corner and from the closet and filled her arms with them. She looked everywhere in the room and gathered the old rotten volumes. These she carried from the room and threw into the elevator. A button guided the door shut. I thought you'd do that, Mary said. That's why I hid most of the good ones, where you'll never find them. Why would you tell her that?
She shouldn't say that.
Don't tell her that.
She should be like, you threw away all of them.
Wow, no, every book I had. Yeah. Even the best ones. Mrs. Q. Barrel put a satin handkerchief to her eyes and began to weep. Just look at you. Look, I don't know what I ever did to deserve this. Deserve what, Mother? What am I doing that's so wrong? Mary's mind rippled in a confused stream. I guess her mind is shapeless, too, because she had dumped him. What? Mrs. Q. Barrel screamed. What? Do you think I want people to point to you and say I'm the mother of an idiot? That's what they'll say. You'll see. Or, she looked up hopefully, have you changed your mind? No. The vague reasons longing to be put into words. It doesn't hurt. They just take off a little skin and put some on and give you pills and electronic treatments and things like that. It doesn't take more than a week. That's a long time, lady.
That is a pretty long time. For the entire, like, for a procedure.
Yeah.
To be a week long.
They're,
that's
like,
long.
Ripping her skin off and putting other skin on, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, well, she needs it. She has holes and blotches and that's fat true. Cheeks yeah. and no shape. And she's a little and then, hair. She stinks. I mean, yeah. What else?
Do it, Mary.
Jeez Louise.
No. The reason. Don't you want to be beautiful like other people, like me? Look at your friend Shayla. She's getting her transformation next month, and she's almost pretty now. Mother, I don't. Why, she's got one whole shape to her.
Yes. Mother, I mean, Shayla is a nice name.
Yeah. Shayla is a nice
it's
name.
It's pretty.
Yeah, it's a pretty name.
I bet
yeah.
you Shayla.
Pretty name for an almost pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mother, I don't care. If it's the bones you're worried about, well, that doesn't hurt. They give you a shot, and when you wake up, everything's molded right. Everything to suit the personality. I don't Ow. Care. I don't care. But why?
Oh, no.
I like me the way I am. Almost. Almost exactly. But not quite. Part of it, however. Part of what Daddy and Grandpa meant. But you're so ugly, dear.
Ah, yes, Mom. She's so mean.
Like Dr. Hortel said. And Mr. Wilms at the factory. He told some people he thought you were the ugliest girl he'd ever seen.
What?
Says he'll be thankful when you have your transformation.
They're writing about it in the newspaper.
Paper after paper about how you're the ugliest one. You're not even round. That would be a shape. You're just a lump. Some kind of lump. And what if he hears of all this? What'll happen then?
Who's the he in this?
The Mr. Wilms the factory at the factory. Guy? I don't know what that? The I don't know what the factory is. I assume the transformation factory.
You're probably right.
Daddy said I was beautiful. Well, really, dear, you do have eyes.
Dude, ouch, man.
Yeah, she is not holding back. Daddy said that real beauty is only skin deep. He said a lot of things like that, and when I read the books, I felt the same way. I guess I don't want to look like everybody else, that's all. No, that's not it. Not it. Not at all it. Well, why does he keep fucking with it?
I know. Just have her say what it is, then. Yeah.
We don't even know. We're in her head. That man had too much to do with you. You'll notice that he has hid. You'll notice that he had his transformation, though. But he was sorry. He told me that if he had to do it over again, he'd never do it. He said for me to be stronger than he was. Well, I won't have it. You're not going to get away with this, young lady. After all, I am your mother. A bulb flickered in the bathroom, and Mrs. Q-Barrel walked uncertainly to the cabinet. She took out a little cardboard box. Time for lunch. Mary nodded. That was another
thing. From the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toilet lunch. In the future, we eat our lunch in the toilet.
It goes right through. We eat it, and then we have to take a poop.
It's very fast.
It's almost instant.
Yeah, almost
so
instant.
Efficient.
Mary probably nodded. What they're obsessed with, yeah.
Yeah. We
efficiency.
Mary nodded. That was another thing the books talked about, which the tapes did not. Lunch seemed to be something special long ago, or at least different. The books talked of strange ways of putting a load of things into the mouth.
Give me a big load of things to put in my mouth.
Hey, Charles is having a little fun.
He's having a good time. He's like, here's a little one for mom and dad.
He's forgetting about his mom torturing him. Putting a load of things into the mouth and chewing these things, enjoying them. Strange. Somehow wonderful. And you'd better get ready for work. Yes, mother. The office was quiet and without shadows. The walls gave off a steady luminescence, distributed the light evenly upon all the desks and tables. And it was neither hot nor cold. Mary held the ruler firmly and allowed the pen to travel down the metal edge effortlessly. The new black lines were small and accurate. She tipped her head, compared the notes beside her to the plan she was working on. She noticed the beautiful people looking at her more furtively than before, and she wondered about this as she made her lines. A tall man rose from his desk in the rear of the office and walked down the aisle to Mary's table. He surveyed her work, allowing his eyes to travel cautiously.
Sorry, where from is her. She?
She's at work.
Oh, I'm
it's
sorry.
The line factory where they make lines.
Okay. I wasn't sure what she was doing.
Keep up. Mary looked around. Nice job, said the man. Thank you, Mr. Wilms. Oh, it's the guy who thinks she's hideous.
Oh, this is from the factory. Dang, her boss is calling her mom to tell her that she's ugly.
I'm just calling again to inform you that your daughter was still just as ugly today.
Your daughter.
Great worker, but my gosh, not a looker. Not a looker, that one.
She was uglying up the factory all day.
Drelich shouldn't have anything to complain about. That crane should hold the whole damn city. Oh, she's an architect.
Oh.
Interesting. It's very good alloy, sir.
An ugly architect.
Yeah. Say, kid, you got a minute? The ugliest architect. A children's book.
All architects are hot. Have you ever seen every architect?
Oh, my God.
They're all hot.
Oh, my sister's an architect.
The strong jaw.
She's very pretty.
That's true.
See? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
See? That's all we need.
If there's two things, that forms a pattern.
Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Frank Lloyd Wright.
So hot.
Classic.
Yeah. So hot. And then his son.
Roman nose.
Also hot.
Mm-hmm.
Super hot.
Yeah.
The hottest.
Yeah.
It's a very good alloy, sir. Yeah. Say, kid, you got a minute? Yes, sir. Let's go into Mullison's office.
Oh, he's going to talk to her about how she's too ugly.
The big, handsome man led the way into a small cubbyhole of a room. He motioned to a chair and sat on the edge of one desk. Kid, I was never one to beat around the bush. Somebody called in a little while ago, gave me some crazy story about you not wanting the transformation. You're fired. Just kidding.
Oh.
I bet it will happen.
I bet it's
going
to happen. He's
Mary
gonna,
said,
get it or you'll be fired.
Oh, Daddy had said it would have to happen someday. This must be what he meant. I would have told them they were way off the beam, but I wanted to talk to you first. Get it straight. Well, sir, it's true. I don't. I want to stay this way. The man looked at Mary and then coughed embarrassedly. What the hell? Excuse me, kid, but I don't exactly get it. You saw the psychiatrist. Yes, sir. I'm not insane. Dr. Hortel can tell you.
That fake box didn't do anything.
The fake box with the big button didn't go off, so I'm saying. The future.
Also, it's like it's cracking me up because like you're reading everyone else so aggressive and then her so sweet.
She's so sweet. For all we know, she could be like, I don't fucking want it.
I'll read this last page like she where her voice sounds as ugly as her face
nice.
Looks. Yeah. I didn't mean anything like that. Well, the man laughed nervously. I don't know what to say. You're still a cub, but you do swell work. Lots of good results. Lots of comments from the stations, but Mr. Poole won't like it.
I know. I know what you mean, Mr. Wills. But I think you changed my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to stay this way with each other and don't...
She sounds like a gelatinous. Like,
she's gelatinous. She
sounds
no
like
shape.
A fucking Mucinex guy.
I'm moving out. I'm going to pick him.
She's so funny.
I live in your lungs. Yeah. You'll never get rid of me.
She's melting right in front of her boss.
Yeah. But you'll get old before you're half through life. Yes, she would. Old like the elders, wrinkled and brittle, unable to move right. Old.
It's hard to make you understand, but I don't see why it should make any difference.
Don't go getting me wrong now. It's not me, but, you know, I don't own Interplan. I just work here. Mr. Poole likes things running smooth, and it's my job to carry it out. And as soon as everybody finds out, things wouldn't run smooth. There'll be a big stink. The dames will start asking questions and talk.
Will you accept my resignation, then, Mr. Wells?
She touched his face, and it left a slime mark.
He embarrassedly wiped it on his trousers. His handsome, handsome trousers. Sure you won't change your mind?
No, sir. I decided that a long time ago.
Yeah, she's like Hoggle.
Yeah, she sounds like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the brain in the dude's stomach. That's what she sounds like.
And I'm sorry now that I told Mother or anyone else. No, sir, I won't change my mind.
Well, I'm sorry, Mary. You've been doing awful swell work. Ronnie's making me laugh. He's laughing. Couple of years, you should be centraled on one of the asteroids the way you've been working. But if you should change your mind, there'll always be a job for you here.
Thank you, sir.
No hard feelings?
No hard feelings.
She drifted down the hall and slid into a drain.
Just a pair of eyes and nose and a mouth and a big puddle.
She looks
just
like Slimer.
Residue. Things go through her.
Mm.
Okay, then. You've got till March. And between you and me, I hope by then you've decided the other way. Mary walked back down the aisle, past the rows of desks, past the men and women, the handsome model men, and the beautiful, perfect women. Mm. Perfect. All looking alike, looking exactly alike. She sat down again and took up her ruler and pen, which I'm surprised she could do because she has no hands.
She's just a blob.
She's goo. What do you want?
Mm-hmm. Well, you just stick the end of the
goo.
Pencil
what
in.
What do you want?
Have you seen that commercial or the billboards that are like, take time to be a dad today? And it's like two blobs and like one of the blobs has a baseball bat inside and is a dad. And then one of the blobs is a little kid and he has a baseball inside of him. Have you seen those?
No.
South side of Los Feliz Boulevard. If you're ever stuck in traffic on that endless sprawl.
And yet you haven't seen Big.
Yeah, you know what? I save room in my brain
I see
for
the terminal.
Bus ads.
I see posters. I see PSA posters on buses.
I've seen the terminal. I've seen Larry Crown all the time.
Mary stepped into the elevator and descended several hundred feet. At the second level, she pressed a button and the elevator stopped. The doors opened with another button. We get how elevators work. And the doors to her unit with still another. Mrs. Q. Barrel sat on the floor by the TV. It's T-V.
Oh, nice.
Disconsolate. Is that how you'd say that? Cool. And red-eyed. Her blonde hair had come slightly askew and a few strands hung over her forehead.
Wait, I thought she had brown hair. This is a mom?
Brown eyes. She has brown eyes.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
Wow. I can't believe you can't keep her beautiful form in your head.
I know.
I mean, it's just the natural standard of true beauty. Everyone knows it's blonde
hair,
brown
eyes, and teeth.
Yeah. Unblemished skin, no wrinkles, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, you don't need to tell me. No one will hire you. Mary sat beside her mother.
If you only hadn't told Mr. Wills in the first place.
Uh-oh.
Ronnie's turn.
Ronnie's turn.
All right, is it too late to to admit that I am grossly illiterate.
That's what everyone says. Moment. It would bring you into literally like every other guest.
The last 5 weeks has just been people going, Are you sure you want to have me on the show?
And they're like, are you sure you don't want me to read out loud? Because
Mike came on and he was like, I'm actually pretty good at reading. I'm a very good reader.
Cool.
I will not be reading Married like Lindsay was because that was disgusting.
That was your suggestion.
And it made me want to give you a cough
and
drop.
You were dead right. You were dead right, Ronnie.
Anyway.
Choose your own disgusting voice.
Yeah. However, it's your performance.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see. Let's see how it winds down, how I feel about Mary as it goes along. All right. I am starting now.
Good work. You're going to do great.
Well, I thought he could beat a little sense into you.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Out the gates.
Took a turn.
Out the gates. Oh.
The sounds from the TV grew louder. Miss Q Burrell changed channels and finally turned it off. What did you do today to my what? I guess I was wrong.
That was an interesting choice for Mary.
It was. It truly really was. Yeah. It was it's way too fast for her words. All right. What did you do today, Mother? Mary smiled. Do? What can I do now? Nobody will even come over. I told you what would happen. Mother, they say you should be in the circuses.
Wow. Of which there are four.
She is.
Mary went into another room. Miss Q Burrell followed. How are we going to live? Where does the money come from now? Just because you're stubborn on this crazy idea, crazy, 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 can I support both of us? They'll be firing me next.
Oh, because of her ugly daughter.
Yeah. It's like, we can see in your mind that picture of the ugly daughter you have there.
Why is this happening? Because of you. That's why. Nobody else on this planet has ever refused the transformation. But you turn it down. You want to be ugly.
Oh, shit. That's mean. But also true.
But also no meaner than anything else anyone has said to her this whole story.
I don't know. I mean, I still think Dr. Hortel's whole diatribe was his description of her was still the worst.
Oh, yeah. When he said that she looks like a monster.
Because of you, that's why. Nobody else on this planet has ever... Nope, we already read that. Da, 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 da. May put her arms around... I promise
we
you.
We love having
I'm
you
very
here.
Good.
No, you're we doing really good. Good. You're doing so good.
So good.
I graduated and went to college for 2 years.
Ooh.
So fancy.
I believe that.
I believe it.
Mary put her arms about her mother's shoulders. I wish I could explain. I've tried so hard to. It isn't that I want to bother anyone or that Daddy wanted me to. I just don't want the transformation.
Is this going to be every conversation with, like, no kind of forward
literally
momentum?
Literally every
of, like,
person she encounters.
Why won't you do it? I just don't want it. But why?
I know the reason,
Daddy,
but I'm not going to say.
Daddy, Daddy.
She doesn't want it.
She doesn't want it.
Miss Cubero reached into the pockets of her blouse and got a purple pill. She swallowed the pill.
Oh, nice.
When the letter dropped from the chute, Miss Cubero ran to snatch it up. She read it once silently, then smiled. Oh, I was afraid they wouldn't answer, but we'll see about this now. She gave the letter to Mary.
Oh, it's like an email.
Mm-hmm. It's addressed. And here's the address and everything. Mrs. Zena Q. Burrell, Unit 451D, Levels 2 and 3.
Ooh,
City.
Nice. Multi-level.
Dear Madam, and I'm assuming it means regards of your letter of December 3rd, 36, we have carefully examined your complaint and considered that it requires stringent measures. Quite frankly, the possibility of such a complaint has never occurred to the department, and we therefore cannot make positive directives at this moment.
Oh.
However, due to the unusual qualities of the matter, mm-hmm. we have arranged an audience at Central Dome, 8th level, 16th unit, January 3rd, 37, 23 sharp. Dr. Elf Hortel has been instructed to attend. You will bring...
Yay, hot doctor's back. Yes.
Yeah, and his name is Elf, E-L-P-H, Hortel.
Nice.
Has been instructed to attend. You will bring the subject in question. The subject.
Oh,
my daughter?
Be the specimen in question.
Yours, Department F.
Wow, not even one person.
I have a prediction for the end of this story, and I will keep it to myself, and I will tell you if I was right.
Okay, good.
That sounds like a cheat.
I promise. I'm
no,
so
Lindsay
honest.
Is very obsessed with being honest.
Honesty.
She will tell us.
Okay.
For sure.
Yes.
All right. Mary let the paper flutter to the floor. She walked quietly to the elevator and set it for level 3. When the elevator stopped, she ran from it, crying, into her room. She thought and remembered and tried to sort out and put together. Daddy had said it. Grandpa had. The books did. Yes, the books did. She read until her eyes burned, and her eyes burned until she could read no more.
Just tell us what the fucking book said already.
Then Mary went to sleep, softly and without realizing it for the first time. But the sleep was not peaceful.
Oh shit. She ate too much spicy food before dinner. That's what happens to me. I have weird dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, said the young-looking, well-groomed man.
Nice.
This problem does not resolve easily. Dr. Hortel here testifies that Mary Q. Beryl is definitely not insane. Dr. Mona, Prynne, and Fetters all verify the judgment. Dr. Prynne asserts that the human organism is no longer so constructed as to create and sustain such an attitude through deliberate falsehood. Further, there is positively nothing in the structure of Mary Q. Beryl which might suggest difficulties in transformation. There is evidence for all these statements, and yet we are faced with this refusal. What, may I ask, is to be done?
You are hereby sentenced to beautiful. To a lifetime.
And she's like, no! Yes. No!
A life sentence.
Mary take her looked to at, the
beautiful jailers. Take yeah. her to
the beautiful room.
Mary looked at a metal table. We have been in session for far too long, holding up far too many other pressing contingencies. The trouble on Mercury, for example, we'll have to straighten that out somehow.
True.
Why are they bringing up their dirty laundry? They don't need to talk about this other thing.
Yeah, they're just letting you know, like, hey, there's other important things that we have to deal with. You know, like Mercury.
The planet.
It's so ugly.
What are we going to do about it?
Oh my gosh, it's hideous. And it won't take the transformation.
And Pluto keeps trying to claim it's a planet.
Ugh. Mm.
Throughout the rows of beautiful people, the mumbling increased. Miss Q. Beryl sat nervously, tapping her shoe and running a comb through her hair. Mary Q. Beryl, you have been given innumerable chances to reconsider, you know. Mary said, I know, but I don't want to.
Nice. Thanks, but no thanks.
The beautiful people looked at Mary and laughed. Some shook their heads. Jesus Christ. The man threw up his hands.
I thought he was going to say throw up. The yeah, man is so, threw up.
That'd be so funny. At the mere sight of her.
Yeah, that is a more funny choice.
Yeah.
Little girl, can you realize what an issue you have caused? The unrest? The wasted time? Do you fully understand what you have done? Intergalactic questions hang fire while you sit there saying the same thing over and over. Doesn't the happiness questions. Of your mother mean anything to you?
Wow.
A slender, supple woman in a back row cried,
nice.
We want action. Do something.
Why do they care? Oh, my God.
Because she's slender and supple. Why won't Mary be like her?
Put this lump in a fucking hospital room already.
Put this unshapely lump. The man in the high stool raised his hand. None of that now. We must conform, even though the question is out of the ordinary. He leafed through a number of papers on his desk, leaned down, and whispered into the ear of a strong, blonde man.
Hell yeah.
Then he turned to Mary again. Child, for the last time, do you reconsider? Will you accept the transformation? No.
Oh my God. Thanks, but no thanks.
The man shrugged his shoulders. Very well, then. I have here a petition signed by 2,000 individuals.
2,000? 2,000 people are like... Yeah, we support changing your face.
So do it.
Like, she's too ugly to look at. Please change it. That's like how you get a proposition on the ballot in California.
Yeah, exactly. You go and get 2,000 individuals.
Uh-huh.
You tell them it's about looks, and yeah. they all sign it.
You stand in front of a grocery store. Go, hey, there's this ugly girl. Sign real quick.
By 2,000 individuals and representing all the stations of Earth, they have been made aware of all the facts and have submitted the petition voluntarily. It's all so unusual, and I'd hope we wouldn't have to. But the petition urges drastic measures. The mumbling rose.
Oh, shit.
The beautiful mumbling.
Beautiful mumbling. Petition. 200,000 people.
I was one of them. She's ugly.
Yeah, my gosh.
Slime ball.
Oh, my God. She's absolutely foreign.
It's weird how she sounds normal.
Her mother's hot, though. The petition urges that you shall, upon final refusal, be forced by law to accept the transformation. And that an act of legislature shall make this universal and binding in the future.
Oh, man.
Mary's eyes were open, wide. She stood and paused before speaking. Why? She asked loudly. The man passed a hand through his hair.
Another voice from the crowd. Seem to be a lot of questions unanswered here. And another. Sign the petition, Senator. All the voices. Sign it.
Sign it. Sign it. Sign it.
Why are senators involved in this?
But why? Mary began to cry.
They have to talk about Mercury.
Mercury. Mercury.
Mercury.
All of the intergalactic questions of Mercury.
But why? Mary began to cry. The voices stilled for a moment. Because. If you'd only tell me that, tell me.
Because blood is spurting from our eyes at this point just by looking at you.
Why? It simply isn't being done, that's all. The greatest gift of all. And what if others should get the same idea? What would happen to us then, little girl? We'd be right back to the ugly, thin, fat, unhealthy-looking race we were ages ago. There can't be any exceptions. Maybe they didn't consider themselves so ugly. The mumbling began anew.
Oh, we did.
That we're isn't the point, cried the man. Mm-hmm. You must conform! And the voices cried, yes! Loudly until the man took up a pen and signed the papers on his desk. Cheers, applause, shouts.
Finally!
Miss Cubero patted Mary on the top of her head.
Oh, interesting choice, mother.
And then wiped it off her pants.
There now. And she said happily, everything will be all right now. You'll see, Mary.
Oh, too sad.
The transformation parlor covered the entire level, sprawling with its departments. It was always filled, and there was nothing to sign, and no money to pay, and people were always waiting in line.
Cool, it's free.
But today, aww, the people stood aside. Oh. I mean, they're forcing you to do something. Yeah. Well, some people say, I guess it is cool that it's free. Just a long wait. It's like
they
the DMV.
They can still charge you.
Yeah, it's like the DMV.
Exactly.
Except you still have to pay for DMV stuff.
You have to sign up for car insurance.
Mm. Yeah, and you have to pay registration fees and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you stay on top of it. It's not that hard of a fee. You stay on top of it.
When you forget to pay, it adds up. Mm. But if you're just on top of it, you got to do it.
Oh my God, I'm so glad we talked about this. I have to renew my registration.
Do it. I put my sticker on the other day and I was like,
do it, do it,
do it. But today the people stood aside and there were still more looking in through the doors. TV cameras placed throughout the tape machines in every corner. It was filled, but not bustling as usual. Mary walked past the people, mother and the men in back of her following. She looked at the people. The people were beautiful, perfect.
Yeah.
Without a single flaw.
We know!
All the beautiful people. All the ugly people staring out from bodies that were not theirs, walking on legs that had been made for them, laughing with manufactured voices, gesturing with shape and fashioned arms. Mary walked slowly, despite the prodding. In her eyes, was a mounting confusion, a wide, wide wonderment. The reason was becoming less vague. The fuzzed edges were falling away now. Through all the horrible months and all the horrible moments, the edges fell away. Now it was almost clear. She looked down at her own body, then at the walls which reflected it. Flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone, all hers, made by no one, built by herself, or someone she did not know. Uneven kneecaps making two grinning cherubs when
they
bent.
Your parents.
And the old familiar rubbing together of fat inner thighs. Fat, unshapely,
Jesus
unsystematic
Christ.
Mary. But Mary.
Good God.
Charles Beaumont.
I know.
C.L. Nutt, how could you?
Describing someone so bad is very funny. All right. Of course. This was what Daddy meant, what Grandpa and the books meant, what they would know if they would read the books or hear the words, the good, reasonable words. The words that signified more, much more than any of this. The understanding heaped up with each step. Where are these people? Mary asked half to herself. What has happened to them? And don't they miss themselves? These manufactured things? She stopped suddenly. Yes, that is the reason. They have all forgotten themselves. A curvaceous woman stepped forward and took Mary's hand. The woman's skin was tinted dark, chipped and sculptured bone into slender rhythmic lines. Electrically created carriage, stance, made, turned out. All right, young lady, we will begin. They guided Mary to a large, curved leather seat. From the top of a long silver pole, a machine lowered itself. Tiny bulbs glowed to life and cells began to click. The people stared. Slowly, a picture formed upon the screen in the machine.
Bulbs directed at Mary, then redirected into the machine. Wheels turning, buttons ticking. The picture was complete. Would you like to see it?
So just showing her like a before picture, like a really intense before picture?
Of herself or after? I don't know. I think the picture's like of like what, like this is what you're going to look like.
Oh, after.
I got lost with all the like buttons moved and then lights went up and then a pole and
then a magician came out and performed for 30 minutes and then an improv team showed up.
Oh, no! Everyone clapped politely.
Anything but this. Do the transformation.
Mary closed her eyes tight. It's really very nice, the woman turned to the crowd. Oh, yes, there's a great deal to be salvaged. You'd be surprised. A great deal. We'll keep the nose, and I don't believe the elbows will have to be altered at all.
Nice.
Some people, you're like, gotta get rid of those elbows.
Some people, you'd be surprised. Some elbows, woof.
Yeah. No thank you.
Yeah, no thank you with those elbows. Miss Cabrera looked at Mary and smiled. Now, it isn't so bad as you thought, is it? She said. The beautiful people looked. Cameras turned, tapes wound. You'll have to excuse us now. Only the machines allowed. Only the machines.
I love that repeated. That's so stupid.
The people felt out. It repeated and it's like italicized. They want you to know, like, hey.
Only the machines.
The people filed out. Mary saw the rooms in the mirror. Saw things in the rooms, the faces and bodies that had been left, the woman in the machines, and the old young men standing about adjusting, readying. Then she looked at the picture in the screen and screamed. A woman of medium height stared back at her. A woman with a curved body and thin legs, silver hair, pompadoured, cut short, full sensuous lips, small breast, flat stomach, unblemished skin.
Oh, small breast.
Small breast, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Small breast, but flat stomach.
Flat stomach.
Yeah. And sensuous lips.
Silver
sensuous
hair. Lips.
Pompadoured hair.
Pompadoured hair.
But short. Pompadour, but short.
Pompadour, but short. So like Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, this like pretty Elvis cool. With silver
Go
hair.
For it, Mary.
Silver Elvis. Honestly, girl.
Yes.
You were like a sock.
So wrong.
Before.
Yeah. You're like a sock filled with yogurt right now.
Yeah.
Like honestly, a yogurt sock.
You look like a sock full of Chobani.
Like, or like not even sock. Greek yogurt. You look like French style yogurt like, in a sock.
Like Dan and custard style
it's
yogurt.
Like so disgusting.
A strange woman no one had ever seen before. The nurse began to take Mary's clothes off. Jeff, the woman said, come look at this, will you? Not one so bad in years. Amazing that we can keep anything at all. The handsome man put his hands in his pocket. Pretty bad, all right.
Oh, so they were lying before?
I don't.
Because before they were like, we can keep like some of this, and then they're like, there's not much we can keep.
Maybe they're pointing at a particular part where it's like, but this part, I don't know.
The handsome man put his hands in his pocket. Pretty bad, all right. Be still, child. Stop making these noises. You know perfectly well nothing is going to hurt. But what will you do with me? That was all explained to you. No, with me. Me. Oh, you mean the cast-offs? The usual? I don't know. Exactly. Somebody takes care of it. I want me, Mary cried. Not that, she pointed at the screen. Her chair was wheeled into a semi-dark room. She was naked now, and the men lifted her to the table. The surface was light, glass, black, filmed.
But she kept slipping through their fingers. All that slime.
And she oozed through her fingers into the grate. Big machine hung above. Straps, clamps, pulling, stretching limbs apart. The screen with the picture brought in. The men and the women, more women now. Dr. Hortel in a corner, sitting with his legs crossed, shaking his head. Mary began to cry above the hum of the mechanical things. Shh! My gracious, such a racket. Just think about your job waiting for you, and all the friends you'll have, and how nice everything will be. No more trouble now. The big machine hurtling downward. Where will I find me? Mary screamed. When it's all over. A long needle slid into rough flesh, and the beautiful people gathered around the table. They turned on the big machine. The end.
What? The end?
Oh, she never got her way.
Yeah, but so what did become of her?
Because you never know.
Why did she think she was going to lose herself?
I don't know.
God, Mary, just be pretty.
Just be pretty.
I'm so annoying.
Honestly, if I could put my brain in an android, I would. I could like just be like
I mean,
a robot.
In, that's the plot of that Bruce Willis movie.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. What was that one?
I think Keanu Reeves is in it. Yeah. It's like a bunch of marble columns.
Dude, I want to stay in the Matrix.
That's the moral of the story. Just stay in the Matrix.
Just stay in the Matrix.
I will tell you.
What did you think was going to happen?
Very wrong.
Okay, what did you think?
I mean, I could tell.
Tragically wrong.
If you would have been like, ah, I was right, I would have been like, no, because the way you responded to the end let me know that you were way off.
And also,
What?
I was right. That's crazy how right I was.
Also, if you were like, I know exactly how the end is going to be. Nothing will happen.
Yeah. I know exactly what the end is, and it's that it goes on.
What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. I thought she was going to be taken to somebody who was going to be like the final arbiter over whether she could have it. Mm-hmm. And that person had also refused the transformation, but nobody ever saw that person.
That is an interesting story.
You're now smart enough to rule with me or whatever.
Be my wife.
I thought it was going to end at the reveal that they hadn't taken the transformation either.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, you were hella off.
I was a little off.
Yeah, she got ripped apart and everybody's toast.
Yeah, she's dead and she's...
Well, her old, ugly, shapeless body.
Yeah. But like, how do they even find limbs to rip apart?
I don't even know, dude. No, I think they're just pulling apart goo and then doing that thing where you do like you got stuff in your head, like, ugh.
It's got like strings, like slimy strings that are dripping off.
And every time they try and like get with their other hand, it like catches on there too. And it's just impossible.
You can't. You just got to wash your hands.
You got to. You just got to take a quick shower.
What if she changes her name to something hot?
Yeah, Mary's not hot.
Yeah, Mary's not hot.
Not hot. Shayla. She needs to get that Shayla name.
Oh, yeah. Or Zena.
Shayla.
Also
Zena.
Good.
Also hot.
What would you choose as your hot name, you guys? Because obviously we're all fucking hideous.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked. I'm definitely getting the transformation. You don't have to ask
me. Fuck yeah.
Definitely getting that transformation.
Yeah, no, I'm getting the transformation. Are you kidding?
I do not care.
Yeah.
I do not care. Yeah. I would do it
truly,
instantly.
Truly, that's the real lack of being superficial. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't care how you look, then you don't care if you're beautiful.
What I think would be cool, and
am I right?
Maybe we see,
that's right. That's right.
And maybe we see like a really dystopian version of this in The Bells. But
yeah,
I would totally like if you could choose like what the like different details are, because I don't like, because you know how they're like everybody looks the same. I think it'd be cool if you could like just choose everything and then like pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a Taco Bell app,
like. Yeah, or the beginning of an RPG game where you spend hours like trying to come up with what your character looks like.
Well, I think I feel like that's just Mary's view of what people look like, because by the descriptions, everyone doesn't look the same.
No, they do look different.
Yeah, it's like this one's curvaceous. This one is like this thing. This one is like a slender so and so.
She was gonna get silver hair.
Yeah,
that
she's getting
awesome.
Silver hair, small
this is
breasts,
very cool.
Thin stomach, short hair. So it's like, wait a minute, Mary, you look different than anybody else.
Yeah,
you
and they even said that they were like, this is different than anything we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why she's being
Jesus
such
Christ,
a fucking
Mary.
Bitch about it.
Mary, stop being such a fucking stupid bitch.
Okay, what would your hot name be?
Oh, right. Letitia.
Mine would be Andromeda.
Oh.
Oh, Brett got it. Brett spicy. Nodded. Brett nodded.
Yeah. Ronnie, what'd your hot name be?
Andre.
Nice. Mine would be this super normal name.
Very common name.
Because I was like, Brax? And then I was like, no. I'm going to go.
Brax. Let that space go together.
Yeah. When I said that, I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm not going to knock Andre, though.
No. I like Andre, too.
You can have it.
Yeah.
You can have whatever you want.
Whatever name you want.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and reading this crazy story with us.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for having me. This was, I'm inspired now.
You're inspired.
Yeah. And now steal this whole idea.
Yes. It's in public domain. You can.
Yeah, you can. You can adapt this into whatever you want it to be.
I can. And then when somebody's like, hey, you stole that from Charles Bowman, I just do the shoulder shrug like,
What are you going to do?
Well,
what are
you going to do about it?
Public domain.
Literally, you can do nothing.
Public domain. Yeah. And then sing happy birthday in their face.
Yeah. And be like, those bitches are dead. dead. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Well, just to be clear, because I know you messed up my plugs earlier.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Like I said, they were in italics. I don't know what happened on my phone.
My name is Ronnie Adrian. You can, I don't know. What you're looking at. I do a bunch of shows at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Two of my normal ones. Every second Friday with my team, White Women, with some very funny other black gentlemen. Oh, in case you didn't know, I am black.
I'm sorry. We should have said that at the top.
You should have said that. I'm so sorry.
Every second Friday of the month, it's called Your Token Friend, where we get a special guest of color to come and tell stories about things or whatever that we ask them to. And it's usually pretty fun, and the guests are usually people that you might know.
And they're hot.
Every one of our guests have always been hot.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go if they weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're always packed. Everyone is very hot.
Yeah.
Also, I play with my formal Herald team, now regular weekend team, the Dragons. Every Saturday at 10:30, I used to be Sunset. Check me out. You might see me on your TV screen sometimes. Maybe you might see me pop up in a movie. Ronnie Adrian, keep it going.
You can follow
me on Instagram if you want, at Bones Adrian. You can follow me on Twitter. I don't use it, but I every now and then I look at it. So
That's why you're not following me there. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Ronnie. No, it was really fun. Thank you so much, Ronnie.
All right, have a great one.
And thank you so much to our listeners. Thank you so much for leaving your positive reviews on Apple Podcasts. If you have not done that yet, go do that.
Thank you to the listener who submitted this story. I'm so sorry I cut you off. You weren't done asking for reviews.
That was a good point. Thank you so much. And also, if you guys are wanting to submit suggestions,
a story for us to read,
we have a link to a form that you can submit story ideas, and that's on, you can find that link on our Twitter, and we are at Public Domain Pod on all social media. Mm-hmm. So find us there.
Yeah, thank you so much. It really helps Brett out, even though he's a jerk and doesn't deserve it. Do it anyway.
He's really a cherub star baby.
He is. He's so attractive. He got the transformation.
He got the transformation first.
And we were all like, his name used to be Ugly Steve. And he changed it to Brett.
I think you made the right choice, Brett. Thank you again, Ronnie. We'll see you next week. Keep it lit.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog.